From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, October 14th, 2016. This program is produced by the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, and features news highlights compiled from the ARRL letter, found on the web at arrl.org. I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X. In this week's report, amateur radio volunteers are mustered in response to two hurricanes in the Atlantic. ARRL files comments in the FCC's symbol rate notice of proposed rulemaking, and the ARRL invites nominations for the 2016 International Humanitarian Award. Those stories and others, plus Bruce Page, KK5DO, with this week's satellite update, all coming up now.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Dave Pasco, KM3T of Amherst, New Hampshire, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
After the longest activation in its more than 50-year history, the Hurricane Watch Net secured operations for Hurricane Matthew on October 9th at 0400 UTC. Hurricane Watch Net manager Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, reported that the net was in continuous operation for 6 days, 7 hours, gathering real-time ground truth weather data as the storm passed through the Caribbean and up along the U.S. eastern seaboard, and passing that data along to WX4NHC at the National Hurricane Center. Various amateur radio emergency service nets also activated along the East Coast. The first major hurricane of the 2016 Atlantic hurricane season, and at one point a Category 5 storm, Matthew was downgraded to a post-tropical cyclone as it headed out into the Atlantic. The VOIP hurricane net also activated on October 3rd and attracted a number of visitors, including a number of FEMA regional offices and the National Response Coordination Center, according to the net's public affairs officer, Lloyd Colston, KC5FM. The Salvation Army Team Emergency Network was also active for Hurricane Matthew, handling outbound emergency, priority, or health and welfare traffic from hurricane-affected areas. WX4GMA, the Georgia Emergency Management Agency Ares Team Station, was activated on October 7th, running 12-hour shifts. Among activities in South Carolina, Ares volunteers staffed evacuation shelters, with radio amateurs coming from outside the affected areas to help. Overall, I believe the radio operators that were available for the event did an outstanding job, and I am proud to know them, said South Carolina Section Emergency Coordinator Joe Markey, AJ4QM. The Hurricane Watch Net activated again for several hours on October 13th for Hurricane Nicole, after a hurricane warning went into effect for Bermuda. The National Hurricane Center at one point called Hurricane Nicole an extremely dangerous Category 4 storm with maximum sustained winds of 125 miles per hour. While we do hope this is the last hurricane for this season, let us not forget we are still in hurricane season, Hurricane Watch Network's Bobby Graves said. The Atlantic hurricane season ends on November 1st. In comments filed on October 12th with the FCC, ARRL reiterated its case that the FCC should impose a 2.8 kHz limit on symbol rate for digital modes, arguing that its approach is both balanced and necessary. ARRL had asked the FCC to change the Part 97 rules to delete the symbol rate limits and replace them with a maximum bandwidth for data emissions of 2.8 kHz on amateur frequencies below 29.7 MHz. In a July notice of proposed rulemaking, the FCC proposed to eliminate the current baud rate limitations for data emissions, consistent with ARRL's petition, but it declined to propose a bandwidth limitation for data emissions in the medium frequency and high frequency bands to replace the baud rate limitations. ARRL told the FCC in its comments that the current HF symbol rate speed limit reflects 1980s technology and has no place in an experimental radio service in which modern protocols could be efficiently deployed in crowded RTTY and data subbands. The symbol rate limit was created in order to maximize the efficient use and reuse of that crowded shared spectrum, but the assumptions made at the time are no longer valid, ARRL said, and the rules now prohibit radio amateurs from utilizing state-of-the-art technology, thus precluding or substantially inhibiting any meaningful contribution to the advancement of the radio art in this area. ARRL said earlier assumptions are no longer valid, mainly because there is no correlation between the data rate and the occupied bandwidth in the rules now. The league said present rules in the HF data subbands promote inefficiency, allowing data transmissions of unlimited bandwidth as long as the symbol rate is sufficiently low, and it stressed that there must be some limit on occupied bandwidth for HF data emissions. The deadline to file reply comments in the proceeding, meaning comments on comments already filed, is November 10th. The Pacific Seafarers Net relayed a call for help and contacted the U.S. Coast Guard on September 28th after the SV Rafiki began taking on water some 230 miles south of Cold Bay, Alaska. At approximately 0300 UTC, Charles Houlihan, KD6SPJ, a net relay station, received the distress call from the sailboat's captain. Houlihan contacted Randy Van Leeuwen, KH6RC, a net relay station in Hawaii. He, in turn, got in touch with Hawaii U.S. Coast Guard District 14 to report the incident and provide the Rafiki's location. The Hawaii Coast Guard then contacted the 17th Coast Guard District in Alaska, which handled the rescue. Van Leeuwen kept in constant radio contact with the Rafiki until contact was lost. Fred Moore, W3ZU in Florida, and Peter Mott, ZL1PWM in New Zealand, also were on frequency and in contact with the vessel's captain until a U.S. Coast Guard rescue helicopter arrived and pulled the men to safety. Both men were reported to be uninjured, but the vessel was abandoned. The two men were taken to Kodiak, Alaska for medical attention.
Online, via podcast, and on repeaters like the K6CCR repeater serving Culver City, California, you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
Now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
Peter Goolzow, DB2OS, president of AMPSAT-DL, will be the keynote speaker at AMPSAT North America's 2016 Space Symposium. This year's Symposium at Sea takes place on board the Carnival Liberty that departs Galveston, Texas on Thursday, November 10th. If you have not booked your reservations, there's still time to do so. Peter's presentation is entitled Amateur Radio Beyond Earth Orbit. AMSAT's North America President Barry Baines, WD4ASW, extended the invitation for Peter to speak, noting, "When I approached the AMSAT Board of Directors to seek their input concerning potential banquet speakers, there was a unanimous agreement that having Peter as our speaker was a wonderful idea." As president of AMSAT-DL, Peter is in a unique position to provide details about the P4A project, or SHAL-2, and how it will impact amateur communications from space under its footprint. The evolution of AMSAT-DL and how Peter sees AMSAT-DL's moving forward in the coming years would be of significant interest to our attendees. Peter has also observed the development of other AMSAT organizations in Europe, the Middle East, as well as in the Pacific Rim. This should be a very good presentation. I'm looking forward to hearing it. Thanks to AMSAT for this story. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
With the fall semester well underway, school clubs are at full throttle. That means it's time for the ARRL School Club Roundup, Fall Edition. Unlike most contests, this one takes place during the week. School Club Roundup 2016 starts on Monday, October 17th, beginning at 1300 UTC, and runs through Friday, October 21st at 2359 UTC. Stations may operate for up to 24 hours during the entire contest and may only operate for 6 hours during any single 24-hour period. There are five different categories for club stations and an individual category. The most popular time for younger students to be on the air is during after-school hours, but the older students may be on the air at any time. All groups are limited to one transmitter on the air. The School Club Roundup is co-sponsored by ARRL and the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club, or LIMARC, and results appear in QST as well as online. Complete rules are available on the ARRL website. Of the 489 ARRL National Parks on the Air units, the real stars of the event have been the National Scenic and National Historic Trails. Added to the National Park Service official units list in the last week of 2015, the trail units have accounted for the majority of NPOTA activations this year. 9 out of the top 10 most activated NPOTA units are trails, and 80,580 QSOs, nearly 11% of all NPOTA contacts, have been made from an eligible National Scenic or Historic Trail. The Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail leads the pack with nearly 13,000 contacts made from numerous points along the trail. All told, 121,650 contacts have been made from the 23 trail units in NPOTA, amounting to slightly less than 17% of the 725,000 total contacts. The rarest unit is the Alakahakai National Historic Trail in Hawaii. Only 592 contacts have been made from that unit. 33 activations are on the NPOTA calendar for the week of October 13th through the 20th, including the Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore in Michigan and Adams National Historic Park in Massachusetts. Details about these and other upcoming activations can be found on the NPOTA activations calendar. If you're downsizing your shack and would like for your now unused equipment to help promote and preserve amateur radio for future generations, consider donating your used amateur radio and test equipment to ARRL. The ARRL lab accepts used equipment from radio amateurs and their families. Once evaluated, much of the donated equipment is sold, and proceeds help to fund programs that educate, promote, and preserve the values of amateur radio. Assistant ARRL Laboratory Manager Bob Allison, WB1GCM, is spearheading the donation program. Allison said that many donors have expressed satisfaction and, at times, relief that their equipment is going to a good cause. An alarming amount of relatively new equipment has ended up in dumpsters because family members had no idea what the equipment was or what to do with it, he said. For more information on how to donate used amateur equipment, accessories, and test equipment, contact the ARRL Laboratory via email at labdonations@arrl.org. ARRL is an IRS-designated 501c3 organization. While ARRL gladly acknowledges receipt of all in-kind donations, the League cannot, by law, provide donors with a dollar value for items donated.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Stu Turner, W0STU of Monument, Colorado, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
And finally, nominations are open for the 2016 ARRL International Humanitarian Award. This award is conferred upon an individual radio amateur or amateur radio group that has demonstrated devotion to human welfare, peace, and international understanding through amateur radio. The League established this annual award to recognize amateur radio operators who have used ham radio to provide extraordinary service to others in times of crisis or disaster. A committee appointed by the League's president recommends the award recipients to the ARRL Board of Directors, which makes the final decision. The committee is now accepting nominations from amateur radio, governmental, or other organizations that have benefited from extraordinary service rendered by an amateur radio operator or group. Amateur radio is one of the few telecommunication services that allow people throughout the world from all walks of life to meet and talk with each other, spreading goodwill across political boundaries. The ARRL International Humanitarian Award recognizes amateur radio's unique role in international communication and the assistance amateurs regularly provide to people in need. Nominations should include a summary of the nominee's actions that qualify the individual or individuals for this award, plus verifying statements from at least two people having firsthand knowledge of the events warranting the nomination. These statements may be from an official or group, for example, the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, or a local or state emergency management official, that benefited from the nominee's particular amateur radio contribution. Nominations should include the names and addresses of all references. All nominations and supporting materials for the 2016 ARRL International Humanitarian Award must be submitted in writing in English to ARRL headquarters by December 31st, 2016. The winner of the ARRL International Humanitarian Award receives an engraved plaque and a profile in QST and other ARRL venues. That concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about audio news, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright 2016 ARRL. All rights reserved. Until next week, I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X 73, and thanks for listening.